All right, we are out of closed session and back in open session. We'll move to item number four, closed session announcements, and I'll pass it up to Mr. Cole. Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you, Chair Orzowski. The committee met in closed session and discussed the item, one item on the agenda, and no reportable action was taken under the Brown Act.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cole. We move to item number five, recommend authorizing the general manager enter into an agreement for purchase and sale of recycled water between City of Santa Cruz and the City Water Agency. And this will be presented by Mr. Mayo. Mr. Mayo, go ahead.
Very much. Good evening, Water Resource and Watershed Committee members. My name is Courtney Mayo. I'm the Chief Engineer for Santa Clarita Valley. I'm presenting for your consideration today the agreement between Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency and the City of Santa Clarita for the purchase and sale of recycled water from the Vista Canyon Water Factory. This agreement is the last step before we're able to serve recycled to the water to the area. It has already been approved by City Council. Modifications are still able to be made to it, but they approve their chief engineer to be, or their director of engineering to approve it. So we can make adjustments as needed. Next slide, please. So recycled water is generated at the Vista Canyon Water Factory on Humphreys Parkway at the end of Lost Canyon Road near the 14 and Santa Clara River, shown on the map here on the left side, little red dot. The water factory is built by the developer of the Vista Canyon development, which is the surrounding apartments and homes around there. The development includes 96 single-family residents, 1,021 multifamily residential units, and 950,000 square feet of commercial space, as well as a park and other several other community facilities. The water factory is now owned by the City of Santa Clarita and operated by Perk Water, a private operator. The plant treats the wastewater from both a project and a portion of the existing flows from the City of Santa Clarita pipeline that crosses the development. The water factory is capable of producing 371,000 gallons per day of recycled water. Next slide, please. Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency owns the recycled water pipeline network, including the reservoir pipeline and appurtenance that connect to Vista Canyon Water Factory. And you can see on the maps provided, we have the tanks at two tanks at Cherry Willow that were recently completed, and the purple pipe network that leads down to the water factory. We do have more purple pipes that run through the Vista Canyon tract and serve the various areas, but that was built by the developer. So these are the portions of the pipeline that the agency built in order to serve this recycled water to the community, preserving potable water. All of these facilities are operational and currently use potable water through a makeup line at the reservoir to serve the irrigation on a few of the meters that are already ready to go. Next slide, please. So this is agreement in very simple terms. There's a lot of legal language in there to get to this point that we worked on with BBAK and with the city's attorneys. But ultimately, the broken down portion of this agreement is that the city's responsible for all aspects of the treatment plant, including meeting the regulations and water quality for recycled water. This includes any noise or odor complaints that may come from the treatment plant. SCV is responsible for all aspects of storage and distribution of the water, recycled water, including the sale of recycled water to our customers. One of our customers being the City of Santa Clarita. The SCV water will pay the city initially $175 per acre foot of recycled water, which is equivalent to the price charged to SCV water from Santa Clarita Valley Sanitation District for recycled water. Next slide, please. So our recommendation is that the Water Resources and Watershed Committee recommend that the Board of Directors authorize the General Manager to execute the agreement for purchase and sale of recycled water between Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency and the City of Santa Clarita. And with your permission, I would also like it to be on consent.
Thank you. Before we move to the committee, any questions from the public? Attendance?
Yeah.
Any questions from virtual attendees?
There's none.
Great. Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Chair Lehofke. Courtney, we don't have much latitude here. This is an ordinance the city has prepared and executed, so we pretty much play by their rules.
Yeah, the ordinance really is pretty simple. It says anyone who's going to use recycled water has to have an agreement with the city. This is our agreement fulfilling that requirement. I think it does benefit. I think they're very good beneficial terms for both parties. And it definitely was a collaborative effort to get to this point and a lot of negotiation back and forth. So.
Okay. Secondly, the price of the recycled water, is that this is predicated on we're using all the water they're producing? I mean, I'm not sure if there's no one else that's going to use it but us. But
so this isn't a take or pay agreement. This is only what we purchase through a metered source. And so similar how we would meter, we're only going to pay for the water that we draw each quarter, basically. We pay quarterly.
It may or may not be all the water that's produced.
It may or may not be all the water produced. It depends on how much water we are actually selling.
Okay. We're not on the hook to pay for water we don't use, but they produce.
Correct.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Director Marks, any questions?
I'm highly supportive of this, and you know, this is a project that we received grant funding for, as I recall.
Right.
And we need to move forward so we can button up the grant and as well as benefit from the new water supply.
Okay. Yeah, I see a lot of language in terms of right-of-way, so you have the ability to enter that facility and inspect all equipment and test the water as well. Will our annual quality report also include recycled water quality, or that's not part of it?
Generally, the person who produces the water has to come up with the water quality report. In this case, that would be the water factory, just like it is the Santa Clarita County Sanitation District. They produce the water quality report for recycled water. Okay. And we actually receive currently, even before we're using your water, we've been getting weekly updates on what the water quality is and all the testing they do on a daily basis. We have those records for the past 3 months.
Do we publish these records? Do we publish those numbers? Just curious.
We have not been.
Okay.
They're reported to the Regional Water Quality Control Board as part of their permit requirement. So, they're through that reporting process that they're made public.
Okay. Do you guys see any issues of this being on consent? Okay, so we'll move this to consent calendar.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to Court. She's did a lot of back and forth with the city on this, and I think we're in good shape. And there's a whole permitting side that comes along with this that we're talking about that we've been collaborating on as well. And so I think we're just all very excited to be on the cusp of being able to deliver recycled water to that area.
And the GDBs have no claim on this one.
No, that's correct. This will still be calculated as new drops. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move to item number 6, discuss and consider potential amendment to the deposit and funding agreement between Santa Clara Valley Water and Dr. Castaic LLC for the Tapia Ranch. And this is presented by Mr. Vesalopoulos. Rick, go ahead. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Chair Osowski, and good evening again, committee members. I'm here tonight to discuss a potential third amendment to our deposit and funding agreement for the Tapia Ranch project. The developer of the project just recently requested his extension or another extension due to their CEQA certification being delayed. Next slide. So here's just a little history of the Tapia Ranch development. In 2006, CLWA at the time certified the EIR for the BVRRB water, and there were 750 acre feet of water from that earmarked for the Tapia project at that time. In 2007, the Tapia developer was notified that there would be no BVRRB water for them. But then a new analysis in the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan showed that the water would be available. In 2017, the original deposit and funding agreement between DACA Castaic and CLWA was approved and made 489 acre feet of water per year available for the Tapia development. In 2019, the developer requested an extension to the agreement and a deferment of the past carrying costs until December of 2021. And this was approved as the first amendment. In 2021, the developer requested another extension due to delays in the preparation of their CEQA documentation. And the the SCV Water Board approved the second amendment, which required a $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs owed, and continued payments of current carrying costs, interest on the unpaid balance of the past carrying costs, and an option payment. This amendment runs through December of this year, so he's got about 20 more days. And that's where we are now in late 2023 with another request for an additional extension. Next slide. So in accordance with the payment schedule from the first amendment to the deposit and funding agreement, the developer has paid almost $2 million in interest payments, option payments, and annual carrying costs through February 2021. Next slide, Union. And in accordance with the payment schedule from the second amendment, the developer has paid almost $4.5 million in interest payments, option payments, and annual carrying costs, with the inclusion of the $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs. Next slide. So staff recently received a formal request for an additional extension of the deposit and funding agreement from the developer, citing that the EIR certification requirements could not be met due to the complexity of the project and having to replace not one, but two EIR consultants, as well as some increased review times by LA County. Developer is currently requesting the extension go through December of 2025, with final payment of the past carrying costs due by December of next year, 2024, but then finalization of the CEQA certifications by that December 2025 date. Next slide. So if we are to extend the plan, it would look something like this if the interest payment percentage stays the same. The option payment would increase from $150,000 to $200,000 and would be removed from this equation once the final past carrying costs were made, or made, once all the past carrying costs were paid. The developer would pay around $800,000 for past carrying cost interest, annual carrying costs, and the option payment this year or next, early next year. And then there would also be a required $1 million partial payment, similar to the last extension for the past acquisition and carrying costs, with the balance due in by the end of 2024. This payment schedule does align with the developer's requested extension. Also, the developer would pay a total of almost $8 million through the end of next year, and would continue to pay the annual carrying costs directly to SCV Water until a standby charge is adopted to place the charges on the county tax roll. Next slide. So staff believes that the committee has three options as it relates to the extending this agreement for a third time. Option one would be to take no action, and if the developer does not pay the almost $3 million owed for past carrying costs and complete their CEQA by the end of the month, SCV Water could terminate the agreement. This would end up costing the agency approximately $500,000 per year, as we would no longer be collecting the annual carrying costs from a developer for the BVRRB water. Option two would be to amend the agreement and extend it through 2025 with the required $1 million pay down of the past carrying costs due early next year and the balance due at the end of next year. The developer would be required to continue making payments for current carrying costs and option payments, as well as interest payments on unpaid past carrying costs, and would have to complete their CEQA by the end of 2025. Option three would be to amend the agreement with additional or alternate terms to satisfy the committee and board of directors. Next slide. So it's staff's recommendation that the committee recommend the board of directors authorize the general manager to execute a third amendment to the deposit and funding agreement with DACA Castaic LLC, using terms in option two, amend the deposit and funding agreement through 2025, requiring a $1 million pay down of past carrying costs, final payment of all past carrying costs due by December 2024, and continued payments of interest on unpaid past carrying costs, current carrying costs, and option payments with CEQA certification completed by end of 2025. That's it. I think I dead-ended it there. Sorry.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the public attendance? No. Any questions from public attendance virtually?
There's none.
Directors, comments, questions?
I don't see any advantage to terminate the agreement. So
no.
I would at this point accept the staff recommendation.
Likewise.
Yeah, same here. Do we know the health of this developer, Dr. Castaic LLC? Can it continue making these payments?
Well, I guess extending it won't guarantee that they will. They have had issues in the past of paying on time. We do know that it seems like the majority of the money that's funding this lately, at least the last couple payments, have come from overseas. So I'm not 100% sure what the company's viability is. They are working with the county. I received the name of the person at the county that they're working with. They haven't returned my phone calls, but I did get a name. So they actually are working on the project to move it forward. But as for the money aspect of it, they have paid everything up. They are up to date on everything, although they were, you know, under 45 days late, I think the last payment that they made.
Okay. Mr. Cole, any comments? Mr. Al-Hassan, no?
Nope, we'll move it forward to the board.
Okay.
Thank you for the input.
I believe we can make it on the consent calendar.
That would be great. But
okay, Rick, we look forward to listening to you and then during the regular board meeting.
It sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah. If you can, I mean, I'll ask this question if it's not broad, but if you can also include maybe comments regarding the health of the company, that would be great.
Okay, I'll try to find. I did some research on like the BLC Tesoro thing, and there's not a lot out there, but I'll try to dig up some more stuff on them.
Okay. All right, let's move to item number seven, Water Resources Director's Report, presented by Mr. Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I think one of the biggest news in the beginning of December was the 10% allocation of the state water project. This is very low. The Department of Water Resources come up with this allocation because we have a drier fall this year, and although we are still anticipating more precipitation to happen in the near future, actually there's a couple of, I think the state is monitoring some of the big systems that's coming, especially between the 21st and the 25th of this month. And so we're looking forward for these. Still the reservoirs are full or in very good shape, but the Department of Water Resources decided to go with a 10% allocation that potentially is going to be increased in the future. In January, you are going to have a full report from Sarah Fleury regarding all the kind of a recap of 2023 water resources locations, and then look forward for what's happening, what will happen in 2024. And so that will be in January's meeting. Staff has been participating in AQUA, and probably I think you heard some of the report from General Manager Stone that during that time we had a chance to meet with a lot of our partners. As he described it, that we have a table in the lobby of the hotel and we have speed dating where we're having like four or five of the different agencies are coming. Every hour we have one meeting. And so we were successful in meeting with Rosedale to discuss some of the updates of the operations and discuss some of the potential operations change and scenarios for 2024. We met with Westside, which they discussed with us the sale of water that we have done with them this year and how they are planning to move the water over the month of December. We had a chance to meet with AVAC to get some information about the development of phase two. They are finishing phase one and still they are trying to tighten some loose ends at this point for phase one. One of the things that they shared with us that they're going back to their board in January to lay out the steps and actions and plans for phase two, and that's then they will contact us after that. I think one of the suggestions they suggested for us is to invite the board members, and I think Matt has liked this, Matt Stone liked the idea of having the board members go and visit phase one and have a chance to see on the ground how the phase one work and have that opportunity to see it live. So these are some of the meetings we had, in addition to other meetings that we had with some of our consultants and some of the different other agencies. We had a meeting with sites and some of the partners at sites. And then we had a discussion with them of what are the next steps and how to coordinate some of these next steps with some of the neighboring agencies or partners in sites. My last topic here tonight is staff also participated in the State Water Contractors Water Operations Workshop for 2 days in Sacramento early this month. The workshop have provided summary of 2023 operations and then they provided also an overview of 2024, what could be expected with regard to climate operations and an understanding of different operations. And the workshop ended with a visit to a whole day visit to different facilities in St. Louis, different facilities in St. Louis area. And then the staff had a chance to meet with other partners in the State Water Contractors and discuss some of the operations. And I think it was a very beneficial. This is my first time I had the chance to go as staff and see and attend the workshop and also visit with some of our partners and also visit with the Department of Water Resources staff who have been present in that workshop. That's conclude my report for this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Any questions from members of the public? Nope. Virtual attendees?
None.
Directors, questions, comments?
Nope.
Regarding the AVIC phase one visit by the board, is that something that you're thinking about scheduling and planning, or is that something that you are going to email the board directors and see if they're interested?
I think I will coordinate with Steve and Matt Stone on how we're going to approach that. That's what a suggestion from, actually it was an offer from AVAC and so now we are trying to see what will be the best approach for us on how we can coordinate this. And probably they wanted to bring some of their board members also to these visits. So it's going to be an opportunity for a meeting. But again, you know, there's some regulations with regard to Brown Act. So that we wanted to make sure that we're fitting everything within the legal framework that we wanted to pursue. Yeah.
We'll be wearing earplugs and be blindfolded and shake hands. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the report. Looking forward to Ms. Lurie's presentation then.
Yep.
All right, with no other questions or comments, let's move on to item number 8, Sustainability Manager's Report, presented by Mr. Dickens.
Thank you, Chair Ozarhofsky. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you, Chair Ozarhofsky and members of the committee. I apologize, but due to limited bandwidth, I am unable to turn on my camera tonight, but I'll continue my presentation verbally here. Regarding sustainability and water conservation, one of our primary kind of components that we're working on right now is submitting the agency's first annual conservation reports in compliance with AB 1668 and SB 606, the Conservation Long-Term Framework. The legislation says that agencies are required to submit their annual reports beginning January 1, 2024. However, at this time, well, the Department of Water Resources has supplied its proposed recommendations for the methodologies and standards embedded in the legislation in the framework. The State Water Resources Control Board has yet to finalize its recommendations. So at this point in time, we will be submitting an inaugural report, although we will not have any compliance performance requirements that we have to demonstrate because those have not yet been defined. So in this case, it's submitting an annual report of our components, the data that we have available today, but it's not measured or compared to any urban water use objective because those standards have not been finalized. That's an important component of our work, and we continue to work with the State Water Resources Control Board, the conservation industry, and other interested parties to develop that framework and for the legislation. I had the opportunity to meet with members of the Department of Water Resources and the State Water Resource Control Board of the California Water Efficiency Partnerships plenary meeting early this week in San Francisco. And during that meeting, the State Water Resource Control Board notified us that they do not intend or expect to have their recommendations for the framework prepared any earlier than summer of 2024. So those methodologies and standards are yet to be finalized, and it'll take some time before they are. There were some draft recommendations for a compliance, an alternative compliance pathway that they established, although those seem to be more directed towards agencies that are in underserved communities or DAC communities, disadvantaged communities. So, however, again, staff continues to work with state staff to finalize that recommendation methodology. Secondly, regarding reporting-wise, again, it's the end of the year, and during the holiday season, we're very thankful for all the reports that we get to submit. So this particular one that's on the radar is our annual water loss audit validation report. Every year, we're required to submit those to the Department of Water Resources, showing our performance in terms of water loss as well as our industry leakage compared to an industry standard. We are in talks with DWR for both this report and the Conservation Long-Term Framework report to be able to submit reports for a single unified water agency. Although this is a kind of parallel effort with different departments and different components of the agency to be able to submit under a unified PWS ID or Public Water Service Identification Number. So those talks are ongoing, but hopefully we can get a single report that we can submit. And most beneficially, that benefits the agency because as we've become a unified agency and our interconnections become continuously open, we find it more difficult to granularly track water movement through the system between legacy water agencies. So it's easier to track it as a unified water agency. That's something that we're hoping that we can accomplish. Regarding conservation programs, we are launching in January the Water Champions Great Leak Sweep. This is an effort where we will work with our consultant WaterWise to engage the commercial, industrial, and institutional sectors to look for leaks, identify conservation opportunities, take inventory of faucets and fixtures, disseminate water conservation information, program collateral materials, and to identify one of the 18 ENERGY STAR subcategories that we're required to understand and classify our CII sector as part of the Conservation Long-Term Framework going forward. So multiple benefits expected out of that program. That should launch in in January and run until we complete the sector, hopefully for our whole service area. Regarding our multifamily apartment program, staff continues to make inroads. We have conducted two very large complex surveys in October, November, and we anticipate that more than 2,000 premium high efficiency toilet rebates are on the horizon coming Q1 or Q2 of the calendar year, or Q3, Q4 fiscal year, depending on your preference. Lastly, I would say on the sustainability side, staff continues to work with our consultants to move forward on the battery construction project at Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant. We today received our 50% design documents, and staff will be coordinating with our consultant and internal engineering staff to provide feedback on that document, as well as to submit our application for a modification to our interconnection agreement with Southern California Edison. So that project continues to move forward. We have secured a reservation for our incentive funding, and we're beginning to take documentation for investment tax credit subsidies that we will also receive for that project. With that, that concludes my report today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Dickens. Any questions from members of the public in attendance? No? Anyone virtual attendees?
We do not.
Directors, comments, questions?
No question.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Dickens. Let's move to item number 9, committee planning calendar, presented by Mr. Allison.
Mr. Chair, the calendar as it's presented in the packet, it stands as it is now. Probably will have some change as the beginning of the year, as we usually in the first couple of months of the year, we're going to have monthly updates of the water resources because there is a lot of decisions made before April. So probably you're going to have more of those frequent presentations by Sarah. And so that's one of the things that probably we're going to include in the agenda in the next couple of months. With that, we'll take any questions.
Questions from members of the public? Which one? There's none. Okay. Any directors?
All good.
Yes. No questions for me. Thank you. All right. Before we move to item number 10. Final comments, questions from directors? All right, item 10, adjournment. Thank you, staff, directors, for a good committee meeting.
Thank you.
Meeting's adjourned.